Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast.
Hello, everybody, and thanks so much for joining the KevCast. So glad you're here. So glad you can tune in and join me on these posts, these thoughts, these reflections. I hope they're helpful to you and they're encouraging to you. We are quickly ending the year 2017, and I want to thank you and all the new folks who've signed up and joined up. Things may be changing in 2018. The KevCast might change to a new form of Beyond Everything Radio, but stay tuned. We're still working out all the details, but I'm excited to see where and how this all pans out. And boy, I'll tell you, 2017 was an amazing year. And today's post is really kind of a recapitulation of 5 years of online ministry. And part of it is a story that is birthed within my own experience, 25 years of experience in ministry and trying to save people through religion and make the world better. The pitfalls of that, the good, the bad, and how this transition to an online pastor has taken place, and the convictions that I continue to see over and over again. And so this isn't harsh criticism. This is interior criticism. This is something that we need to be aware of. So don't just knee-jerk pull away from these sentiments if you are a very devout, regular church attender. This is not any way a pot shot against you. This is not a dig against anybody who pastors in a traditional way. This is really a way to highlight the value of going online, even though it's very different. Yes, there's not a lot of people going this way. There's always a new church emerging and trying to do the same thing, and that's okay. But this, what we experience week in and week out through the blog Thrive in Exile, through the newsletter Winder's Windshield, and with this podcast, the KevCast, combined to reach the minds and hearts of people all over the world. And I get letters and emails from people on posts that are weeks and months and years old that are just getting to them. And so the lifespan and the half-life of something that is online is so much more enduring and surprising, and it surpassed all my expectations. But what started all of this off? I mean, I did get my BA in pastoral ministries and start working as a pastor. I got my master's in church leadership. So what happened? I mean, after 25 years? Well, I'm sitting around as an elder and executive pastor of church, and I ask this question. And it was a really good conversation that we were having among the leadership of our local church. I simply asked, what if the local church has so hijacked people's lives that liberation from it actually seemed sinful? Think about that question. What if the local church has so hijacked people's lives that the liberation from it actually seemed sinful? And I asked that question 5 years ago, and it led to my transition to online ministry. From a church where, like I said, I was an executive pastor and an elder. And after 25 years, I finally had to admit that really 95% of the church's time, the church's money and effort was spent on mortgages and insurance, lights, sound, water bills, certainly staff members, for the Sunday big show. Meaning that 95 or even more percent of everything we did was Sunday morning. And yeah, I get that behind it is a heart to worship and serve the living God. And I know that the concern for salvation of souls is a driving force in that. I get that. But I'm not saying that the modern church model is bad or wrong, only that it's financially really inefficient. And it continues to appeal to a shrinking population. You know, modern people understand that we don't go to church. They understand that we are the church. And church is wherever or however two or more are gathered together. And that was Jesus' definition of church, two or more gathered, Matthew 18:20. In fact, when I was a pastor, we used to say most of our real ministry takes place on Monday through Saturday in coffee shops and bike rides and meeting places and office space. And so why then? Why the disproportionate energy and expense on a building, you know, on a framework, on the scaffolding to hold all that up? You see, over 5 years ago, I began serving people in this online way as an online pastor, as a what I call myself the uncoach, because I'm completely opposite of what most life coaches do. And life coaching is just what we've always called pastoral care. You see, I didn't make this change because I was jaded or angry or rebellious. It wasn't due to some moral or theological deficiency that I had. I did it out of integrity and love for the gospel, which I felt wasn't making its way to the people in the city. Oh yeah, the gospel found its way to people who went to church, but when most of the people in your city don't darken the door of a church, your message is largely lost. And to me, that seems like a big, powerful message to be spent on the minority. I felt everybody needs to hear this, and where can everybody hear it but in something portable, something online? And if we're just meeting minds, then the minds can meet in a virtual sense. In fact, that's all that's ever happened to any of us in terms of real connection, even to Jesus. I mean, he lived and died over 2,000 years ago, so anything we know of Jesus is certainly virtual, right? So I left because I'm convinced that the present church model obscures much of the beauty and the hope of the good news. Despite their tenacious and loving efforts to promote good news. And that's because it requires untold energy to uphold all the external attractions and distractions and systems and, you know, pathways and programs and everything else. It's extremely specific, and it's exclusive to all but one particular expression. And this is great if that one expression happens to be your expression. But our world, like the scripture depicts, has innumerable experiences with God. I mean, there are desperately tons of experiences with God. They're so varied and so nuanced. Not a single one is like the other. And I think our culture desperately needs wise guides to cultivate and expand these other expressions rather than continually drive everybody into a single expression, which is defined and found in modern contemporary Christianity. You see, I couldn't do that in the typical church, which basically invalidates non-Christian experiences. And that's odd because the Bible validates non-Christian Christ experiences. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, Abraham, he certainly wasn't a Christian. He may not even have been a Jew since he predated the law. What about Moses? What about the Romans and the centurions and the tax collectors, Samaritans, the Gentiles throughout the New Testament? Each one of these people have a clearly unique Christ experience. And it was many of them could never have possibly known who Jesus was. You see, the Christ experiences cause diversity to converge into unity as we go deeper. And so Christianity is not an alternative religion as it's being sold today. It's the completion of all religions through faith. It's the way that all people find their way to God. Now, I became an online pastor because what I wanted most for our world is inner experience, way more than I wanted church attendance. But when I found myself working at a church, it was really all about getting church attendance. What is going to put some butts in chairs? Because, I mean, let's face it, we're bleeding out. We don't have the money. We need people. We need people to bring their checkbooks. We need people to fill our programs and to, you know, be a part of what we're doing. It validates us as pastors and our kind of pet ego projects that become our churches. And while they're not all that way, they are that way at some level. And each framework for belief has its own fundamentals, and these are great formative containers. But as we grow, we have to kind of give up the binary obedience codes and then be repotted into a more ternary world of gray. You see, why do we continue to argue and browbeat people into obedience and duty to countless rules when Jesus made it pretty clear there's really only one rule that must be mastered, and that's the rule of love? Duty is just deficient. It has a motivator, and so is fear. Love is more powerful, and it frees us to just be who we are. Can you imagine that? Coming to church and just being who you are? Some churches are really good at that. They are an environment where you can come and be who you are. I celebrate those churches, but some of them are not. Some of them you have to show up and put on a face, put on a pretense, put on a mask, and don't be who you are, because who you are is deficient. It's wrong. It's bad. It's not accepted. It'll be condemned. See, the online model allows us to shed all of that husk and just focus on the kernel. We get rid of all of those externals, and we just peel open all the way down to the heart of each one of us. See, my congregation here is not made from the herd mentality. I mean, those who value tribal distinctions are best served by the traditional branded model. But this online church family is made up of the strays, and it remains undefined, and I won't define it. And I know that's hard for some of you. Some of you feel like by not defining it, I'm trying to be too willy-nilly or not taking a stand. I don't have a tenets of faith, a creed that I'm going by other than that of love. See, true Christianity is not an alternative religion, like I said earlier. It's actually the end of religion, according to Romans 10, chapter 4, or verse 4. And it's the beginning of our faith. Our online family meets God in the privacy of our own hearts and minds, where we alone are convinced, like it says in Romans 14. The faith that we possess is kept between ourselves and God. It's kept between ourselves and God. In fact, that's the only place any of us have any real faith at all. And that's exactly what Paul was trying to get at in Romans 14:22. You see, faith is not a show. It's not a competition. We need nothing more than yes. And that's why I went online, because I don't need anything else other than to find that place in you and access the deep, so that the deep within God can find the deep within us, and we just find ourselves resonating, yes, yes, agree, agree. See, mainline denominations are being replaced by spiritual but not religious. And that kind of frustrates those who are trying to tote their party lines and do things as they've always done it. Gurus and coaches and authors, they're displacing the preacher. And part of me is sad about that, because I think preaching is a wonderful communication style. I think it really speaks to diverse audiences, and it accesses the depth of humanity and the depth of inspiration. But more and more, it's just a kind of a cloak. It's just the part of the church service that, you know, has less and less grasp on the hearts of people. See, what are people to do when the church will not or cannot answer the questions of the culture? Right? The church doesn't want to lose ground, and it takes a stand, and then it doesn't want to ever compromise because it sees as moving with the culture as a compromise. And the church in its true essence is countercultural, but it's redemptive. It's bringing the culture along. It's not arguing with the culture. It's not fighting the culture. It's not denouncing the culture. It's restoring the culture. It's a part of the culture. You see, the virtual church is the expansive dialogue of progression. It's not a regressive didactic. It's not trying to move people back into something. It's trying to invite people up forward into something else. And so where are people to go if their consciousness has actually surpassed that of the local congregation? I'm so grateful for the change 5 years ago. And I'm so glad that more and more people are catching on to this. And I'm grateful to be on the front side of this wave. It hasn't been easy. It's been a little scary. It made me a little nervous, just like it does for some of you. Now, if you check out this post, this podcast, you read the post in Thrive in Exile, you're going to see a list of the top 10 posts and podcasts that were recorded this year. Some of them were recorded in 2016, but are still being replayed in 2017. I think you're going to see those and see why people are tuning in. There's something here that is not found in the Sunday service. And I think this is important for you to see. And listen, I know it takes a lot of courage to trust this boundaryless, undefinable, nebulous approach to online ministry. In fact, some people simply cannot fathom it. One time I told a person that we're going to make virtual disciples, and they gasped. I mentioned the idea of online pastor, and some people simply don't have a framework where that could even be possible. And yet I know it is. I've been doing it for 5 years, and I hope to continue to do it for many, many more. So I know that it's nebulous. It's not defined. It's open. It's a free-form structure. And I know it can feel detached if you're just coming from a very highly structured environment. You might feel like, well, there's not enough here to keep me. There's not enough here. There's not enough going on. Where do I connect? Where do I, you know? And let me tell you, what you're feeling is freedom. That's what freedom feels like. That disconnection. It's not, you've lost your pressure cooker. You're not in the vise being pressed into a mold. You're finally now free. Free to just be and heal for once. Free to just have a Sunday morning without a duty or an obligation or a guilt trip. Freedom to just be yourself. Freedom to explore really big ideas. Ideas that are bigger and expansive and inclusive and that no board of elders would possibly allow. Freedom from internal and external critics. Freedom to discover the faith that has led you here and which will take you deeper into love. You see, liberation feels like falling. Liberation has an aspect of it which is detachment itself. So thank you all for your engagement in this journey and for joining me and supporting this and being a part of it and your constant feedback and encouragement. It means the world to me. And thank you for joining me and countless others in this online ministry. 2018 promises to be an amazing year as we learn to see beyond everything.
Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.